Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Everybody, everywhere. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton, and we are coasting. We are coasting on a sky that's blue. Temperatures in the mid-80s in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Wow. Hey, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. As I said, I'm Mac Newton. We got a full house for you guys today, as well as a great show on tap. I'm stoked. Hope you are. The fabulous Natasha in the house.
I'm back.
Yeah,
hello,
you are.
Everyone. Nice to be here.
Yes, she is back in all her glory. And behind the glass, there is the magic man making everything happen as he always does.
Thank you, sir. Good to be back here. Ready to finish up the series.
Good to see you. Good to see you. And we are finishing up the series tonight. Finishing it up. But Magic Man, you got a new look. What's up?
I got a gig, not just working on computers. It's at a high-end jewelry store here in town. So during the day, I got to clean up well.
You cleaned up beautifully.
My bulldog.
I tell you. Oh, it looked good. It looked good.
Very handsome.
It's hard for me to look bad, This is, certainly a different flavor.
Wow. It is a different flavor. All right. I like that flavor. Looking good. We have got a great show on tap for you guys today, gang. I'm all excited about it. But you know what? First off, I have to say that I will respond to your email. You told me you like Brian Culberson, some of his smooth jazz vibe going out there. We got more of it right here for you. One of his earlier collaborations entitled Something About Love. Glad you like it. Glad you like it. If you ever get a chance to check him out coming through your area, do so. Or, of course, you can always download these from iTunes. Check me out. Talk about iTunes. Now, some of you may not know, but I just picked up on my very first iPod. Yep, I got one. Welcome to the year 2000, Mac Daddy. Yes.
Congratulations,
Mac. Thank you.
We're happy for you.
Welcome to the year 2000. Everyone's happy for me. Okay, like I say, we've got an early rant. We're going to be talking about actors, athletes, and sports. Our short segment will be on why sports matters. They'll kind of run together. But as usual, we're going to have our shout-outs. We're going to throw one out to Pam and Pele right here in the Valley. And over in Spain, Andy. Andy out there in Spain. Al in South FLA. Veronica sent a really nice update. VG out in the Manila in the Philippines. Hula Girl, Peter, and the Bevzilla DZ up in Michigan. Don't know what the weather's like up there. Looking for a shout out. Okay, gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. My. Here it is, the 27th of October, and it's 85 degrees here in Phoenix. Well, in Manila, according to Veronica, they've been experiencing strong rains and winds over there. But I guess they had a typhoon which is, I guess, something like a hurricane, but over 100 mile an hour winds hit the northern part of the Philippines. It's a long way from where Veronica lives, but because of that, she's still getting strong rains and whatnot. You hang in there, girl. You hang in there. But anyway, she does say it's wonderful to listen to the Power Hour. She says she's got her foot pressing on the success mechanism. And did she say something about her? Oh, yeah. She said she just hit her sales target for October. Come on, Magic Man. Give her something for that. Yeah. Yeah. She just hit her sales target for October last Friday. Indeed, it is a new day. Congratulations, VG, for you. More power to you, and more power coming at you. All right. Next, later on this week, I mean Thursday and Friday, they're saying it's going to be like in the 90s here. This is just amazing. Gee whiz, I'm not sure what might happen. Might the trees start to reverse their, leaves start falling, start grow back. I'm not sure. It's a little bit unusual, but I'll take it because, the Newton line is at 80 degrees. And we are above it today. You do know that, right, Magic Man?
Yes, sir.
You do know. That's exactly right. You didn't know that, did you, Natasha? The Newton line, 80 degree weather. If it's above 80, I'm good to go. If it's below, count me out.
I knew that.
You knew that?
Okay. Yes, I know you like it hot.
I like it hot. Really. I do like that.
That's understandable.
Okay. I just want to give you a little sports update. I'm not sure how much, you guys, of course, this is an international show, so we take a chance talking about, local, and that is in the United States, sporting events, because people are listening to us in Singapore and in the UK and in Ireland and everywhere else, but I do have to ask the question. What do you think, Magic Man, is the biggest disappointment in American sports? The Yankees or the Cowboys? The Cowboys football team or the Yankees? What do you think is the biggest disappointment so far?
I'm going to say, I guess they say the Cowboys are America's team, and it feels good to watch the Yankees crash and burn.
Does it really? But you root for the Cowboys.
I mean, now that the Cardinals have been, respectable, I feel obligated to, go for the home team. But
are you saying the Cardinals are respectable? Is that what you're saying?
They've been getting there. They went to the Super Bowl recently,
2 years ago.
That's right. Then time has passed.
Time has passed. Okay. So you're still, you're still hanging on to some of that glow from the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Well, if we're getting, to be honest, I'm part of Raider Nation. So.
Are you part of Raider Nation? Well, they scored 59 points this past Sunday.
Yeah.
More points than ever in the history of the franchise.
The last 2 years combined, probably.
Going all the way back to Daryl LaMonica, crazy there. Well, so now, what do you think? You think the Yankees are a bigger disappointment to their following than the Cowboys are to their? Now, Cowboys are 1-5, one loss.
Considering they're going to host the Super Bowl this year, so everybody's hoping to have it sealed up.
Yankees have a payroll of over $200 million, $220 some million. They're expecting to win every year, of course. Every year they don't win is sort of a surprise. But they got ousted by a team with a payroll of about $70 million. Peter, one of our shout-outers, he's a big Yankee fan. So he's listening with every word right now. Right, Peter?
Sorry, Peter.
No, sorry about that, Peter. Yes, I know. Just dab your eyes with a tissue and not worry about it, okay? But the Yankees, so Peter, let me send an email. Should the Yankees re-sign Derek Jeter, and for how much? How much is too much? Because we know that he's the face of the franchise. We know that he's the captain of the team. But how much is he worth? And how many teams would pay him the kind of money that he's asking? Because he's asking for $100 million for the next 4 years. That's like $25 million a year. That's incredible. And he had 10 home runs this year. Hoo-wee. That's a lot of dollars for each home run. But you know what? They say there's other things involved. His leadership in the clubhouse. He's the face of the team. He does everything with class. Heck, I could do that too. how much is too much? Would you re-sign him? Would you re-sign him, Zach? Would you re-sign Derek Jeter?
I heard they were going to re-sign most of the team just because they're Yankees. Mm-hmm, they're meant to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
They're classy, like you said.
Yeah.
And they said if he's willing to maybe play right or something like that, but he's just going to have
Jeter in right field.
That's what I'd heard on the on the ESPN or something like that. He's going to have to swallow some pride and maybe shave off some of that payroll.
I don't see Derek Jeter in right field at all. I mean, I may see him at first base, but I don't see him in right field. I don't see that. I can't see that at all. Peter, you got to join in on this conversation. I need your opinion. Let us know what you think, okay? The Cardinals, well, you know what? In a nutshell, I don't think they're that bad. They're like 3-3 now. They've three up, three down. And they've got a couple of wins, kind of in a lucky fashion. They got lucky on a couple of, but then again, everyone gets some of those. Pittsburgh, this past week, they got a lucky victory. Officials helped them out a little bit. And I think the Cardinals they're too good to be real bad for long. Maybe they're second guessing their decision to let Matt Leinart go. Maybe they are. What do you think about that one? Are they?
It's like they're a nice car without an engine or something. They just threw it away after all that time waiting on him.
Yeah, waiting on him and spending all that money, and then they just couldn't wait to see him out the door. Well, I guess he's laughing down in Texas. I think he's with the Houston Texans. Anyway, there you have it. Our sports update here on the Power Hour. We just get into Natasha sitting there going, I'm dozing off here listening to all this kind of stuff.
No, I'm good. The game that I love, I'm basketball fan, just started yesterday.
That's exactly
right.
So
I'm going to be on the news as well pretty soon. Yeah,
you will be because, she's into basketball. And we'll be getting into that. I'm sure that you'll have your opinions. I want you to definitely be ready to give us your updates from time to time during the basketball season. Let us know what you think about LeBron. Whether you think the Lakers are going to repeat. They got two in a row. A lot of conversation going around about the Miami Heat. They signed these two new players to go along with Dwayne Wade. But yet and still, the Lakers are the two-time defending champions. Not a lot of talk going on about them. I don't know. What do you think? So anyway, hey, gang, it's about 12 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. You want to send me an email? Send it to 7, SEVEN, the number 7, at MacNewton.com on anything we talk about or anything that's on your mind that you'd like to talk about with us. Okay. My early rant today, since we've been talking about sports, I want to stay on the sports genre. And I am a big sports fan. Now, when I say I'm a sports fan, I want to be very clear that it is sports and not necessarily the player of the sport that I'm a fan of. I love the game. I don't get into worshiping the players. I like the sport. I love the sport. It seems today that we've got these sports athletes on such a pedestal, and we're paying them such an exorbitant amount of money that we're losing perspective, and we're putting value in the things that they say that I'm not sure it's well placed. Actors the same way. I think that actors are really good at pretending to be someone else. And I'm not really sure that that's really a criteria or a qualification for giving me advice on how to live my life. I think that primarily their biggest skill is entertainment, which is something that's good for all of us. And I love sport. In fact, my short segment is going to be on the topic of why sports matters. But I think you should be putting your excitement into the drama that's created by the game and not necessarily listening to the advice of the people who play it. Because I think their expertise expires when they walk across the end line or the edge of the court or the edge of the diamond or the edge of the playing field. I love to watch them play. I'm really not interested so much in their opinions. Okay, so there are people whose opinion I value. Actors and sports figures are not one of them. And it kind of bothers when I see people putting emphasis on the opinions of people who are better suited playing, pretending to be other people, like actors, and people who are best suited kicking, throwing, or rolling a ball. Now, having said that, let me get into my short segment to tell you why I think that sports matters. You see, I think in America today, we have a tremendous shortage, a drought, you might say, on leadership. We are experiencing water droughts where you have a shortage of water and people are rationing it out. Well, we're having a drought in leadership. Whether we're talking about in politics, there is no question that the politics that we're experiencing today is probably at a lower ebb than at any other point in time in the history of our nation, possibly. I mean, the campaigns, the dirty politics, the tactics that are involved today are disgusting. Politics are saying, politicians are doing and saying things on television with their name calling and things like this that we would not encourage our kids to do. That if we saw them exhibiting behavior like that toward their friends at school, we would take them aside and say, we don't do things like that. But yet and still, we're watching name-calling and dirty politics and all kind of backbiting and backstabbing and ugliness in our political campaigns that should not be allowed. It should be about what that person stands for. And I think because of that, we're getting a shortage of people who would say, I want to be in politics and subject myself and my family to that. To that kind of ridicule and disgusting attacks that go on in politics today, it's ridiculous. So you're going to get people who are willing to get down and mingle in that kind of muck. What it does, it costs us. It costs us because we don't have really good applicants. So we have a drought of leadership, and we need leadership today more than ever before. In America. Now, I might get back to more on that a little bit later, but let me first give you my short segment on why I think that sports matters. Now, I've always recommended that kids participate in sports while growing up, whether it's in school or whether it's in part of Little League or other sports environments. It's not only builds their physical health, but I think they're also mentally and psychologically healthier. I mean, consider this. Most people quit. It's a known fact, and it's as simple as that. Most people quit. But it's no secret that successful people never quit. It frequently comes down sometimes to being successful, to being that success or failure may hinge on simply never giving up. And one of the first things that all young people learn in sports is to never give up on a game. Zach, I'm sure you've seen it. Natasha, you've seen this. Where you've seen games where, whether it's in basketball or football or even in soccer, in the World Cup, you've seen examples of teams that were down 20 points at halftime, 15 points in football at the end of the quarter, and you have come back to win. Because those are the type of lessons that we get out of sports that's classic. And everyone needs to be a part of that. What does it mean? What does it say? It says that no matter where I am in life, that no matter what kind of challenge that I am confronted with, that there is a solution or solutions out there for me if I stick to it. If I don't give up, if I hang in there, if I stay focused, if I don't give up. That's what the lesson in sports is to be learned. And that's a leadership lesson, gang. That is a leadership lesson if I've ever heard one, okay? So that is right there at one point. You know what? In sports, we learn it early, and it's reinforced often, to never give up and never quit. In every sport, there's numerous examples of teams trailing in the late stages only to respond to win in the final seconds. They grow up not just thinking, but knowing that it's never too late to win if they just don't quit. What is that but a life lesson? What is that but a leadership lesson? I mean, Calvin Coolidge said it, a great leader. He said, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. And as I've said many times, most people quit. So If persistence was the only positive character trait to be gained from long-term participation in sports, that alone would make sports important. But it's not. There's more. There's more. If that was the only thing, it would be worth every second that you spend involving in sports. That's why Title IX was so important, bringing women and girls into to equal, or if not equal, at least have some measure of participation in sports as they're growing up, to experience the same team building and problem solving that boys get to experience. Right? Very, very important. But as I said, there's more. In sports, you know what we do? We learn to make the first move. And this is something that's rarely, rarely seen and noticed. We don't just learn to stand around on the fringe, afraid to make a move and jump in. Because in life, when you hesitate, when you procrastinate, you're not sure, you're uncertain, you're indecisive, it's like the universe takes the attitude of, well, it doesn't appear like you're very serious about this. Okay, once you develop some commitment, make a decision, maybe then I'll give you some help. Yeah, it appears that whether we're talking about relationships or jobs, one of the major problems in life is a lack of commitment. Wow, something else we learned from sports. What is that if not a life skill? What is that if not a leadership characteristic? It is a characteristic of leadership, commitment. You're putting your heart and soul into what you do. Put your heart and soul into it. Something that's lacking today in our leadership. It's like we want to play it safe. We want to make sure we can't be criticized, or we can't be condemned, or we want to avoid that at all costs. But when you grow up in the world of sports, we learn to make the first move. We learn to commit ourselves. We're making a commitment. Sports teaches that. And in other areas of life, when one person makes a commitment, sometimes it gives another person the courage to commit as well. Yeah, sports matters. Because when you're on a team and you see the second baseman, he leans over and he goes, yeah, come on, man, we can do it. Just like that infuses the shortstop. And then the shortstop says, we can do it. Come on, man. Looks over to the third baseman. The third baseman goes, yeah, we can do it. And it kind of infuses. Sometimes you're in an aerobics class. Maybe you're working out. And the person next to you says, come on, don't give up. You can do it. You can do it. Gives you energy. Gives you a spirit that, yeah, you're right, I can do it. What is that? That's a life skill. That's a life skill. That's a leadership characteristic. Inspiration. Where do we get it? Sports. It matters. Sports matters. It really doesn't matter whether you have any great talent, you know, or for that matter, any talent. What does matter? It only matters that you play. Okay? That's why it's not about the players. You know what? I forget what year it was, but it wasn't that long ago when the NFL went on strike. The NFL went on strike, and all the regular players refused to go in the game because they were unhappy with their contract, okay? Well, management said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to hire replacement players. So they went out and got other college players or football players playing in lower-level leagues around the country. And they had tryouts, and they picked the best of what was left over, okay? Now the NFL players aren't walking the picket line. They call these players scabs, okay? They were playing. But you know what happened? And this is one of the things why the players solved that strike, is because they found out that once those players got back out there and put the uniforms on, that the fans, they were in love with the uniforms. They were in love with the team. And they could see the fans starting to drift away from them and starting to go to the games and show up and cheer for their teams in the same way. They soon found out. Didn't matter who was playing, because it's about the sport. It really isn't about them. And pretty soon, before you know it, they solved that strike, and that one was over. It went back to work. And you know what? There's a lesson to be learned there. So it's not their opinions about life that really matter. There are other people who know far, far more about that than they do. Now, if they're able to retire from sport and build their legacy and get some experience they can share with us beyond the sports arena, we're more than happy to listen to it. But just because they happen to be an athlete is not criteria enough to sway me. So I'm a fan of the game, and I encourage you to be the same. Go out there and cheer you on. And certainly, if you've got children, get them involved in sports. Don't think at any point in time I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because I'm not, gang. Because sometimes things are not all cut and dried. You got to be able to see the distinction. I'm not here against sports. I'm pro sport. So it doesn't matter if you have any talent. I think I ended up right there. It doesn't matter if you got any talent at all. It only matters that you play. And in fact, once you start to play, here's a cool thing. You might think you have no talent. Okay, by the way, Magic Man tells me we got 5 minutes before the break. We're rolling now, okay? Thank you. All right. One of the cool things about sports is this. One of the cool things about sports is that once you start playing, even if before you thought you had no talent at all, sometimes cool things happen. You'll find that veins of talent, areas of excellence that you didn't know you had, are revealed. Wow. Soon as you start playing, and you would have never known that had you not played. That's a very cool thing. Another lesson learned. How cool is that? Anyway, now, my final point on this, sports matters. And certainly, one of the final things that, I mean, I could go on this for a long time, but I think I've given you enough to get you thinking in the right direction. But, final point, and this is key to leadership and to life skills. Sports teaches kids and adults to take calculated risks. That's very important. If we're going to succeed in life, we've got to know where to take a risk. You can't get ahead in life on the defensive. You got to go on the offensive. You got to score some points, because you miss 100% of the shots you do not take. You have got to get out there and make a move. You can't win in life on the defensive. And sports teaches you that. It takes risk to succeed in life. It takes risk to succeed in sports. Sports teaches how to deal with failure. Because you're going to fail. No one's going to succeed all the time, and that's a good thing. We got to learn how to deal with failure just as much as we got to learn how to deal with success. And I'm not sure which one people are more afraid of. I'm not sure if more people are afraid of failure than they are of success. I think I see as many people running from what they could be as running from the fear of the criticism they'll take for having failed once they started. Okay. One of the things that sports teaches that often it takes many failures to create that one success. Sports also teaches that when we take that risk and we go out on that limb, sometimes it's going to break. But more often than not, you're going to land on your feet. So this is what I say. Let's play more sports, go out on more limbs, pick more fruit, and enjoy life, develop more leadership, develop the ability to have life skills. This will give you more fun in life. It'll take the scariness out of it. And you know what? Along the way, we're going to get some fine leaders out of this, because from that sports environment, true leadership can be developed. That's my opinion on that. Okay, gang? Hey, it's about 28 minutes past the hour. My name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. If you want to send me an email, a comment on anything we talk about, or you'd like for us to talk about, send it to me here in Phoenix, Arizona. You can send it to me on Facebook. You know, just send me a message on Facebook, or you can send it right here to my desk. You know, send it to 7@MacNewton.com. We're listening to the pianist Brian Culbertson. He's a pianist, he's a composer, he's a writer, and he's about 35 years old. Okay? So he plays the drums, he plays the piano, he plays the trombone. He's just a musical genius. They're everywhere. As I said, I'm sitting here with a full room today. The fabulous Natasha's over there, and the Magic Man is behind the glass. We're having fun. Hope you are too. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Before your love had arrived, getting over you is the hardest thing for me to do. Is the hardest thing for me to do.
Crying every night,
crying every night.
Hi, gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to talk to you about success. Predictable success, like the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. A comfortable feeling that you know that you're going to reach the potential that the Creator put in you at the start. And that's what we do here at the Power Hour. And when you're not listening to us and following up on the things we're talking about, you can go to www.macnewton.com, where I've got essays, where I've got previous Power Hour shows you can listen to. And very soon, I mean within the next month or so, you'll be able to download workouts. That's right. Whether you're a rank beginner or you're getting ready for the Grand Canyon State Games or even the Olympics, or you want to try out for the Arena Football League, you'll be able to work out with the Mac Daddy and get in shape with the best in the business. All at www.macnewton.com. That's where the winners go. Welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The magic man is behind the glass. The fabulous Natasha sitting over there looking beautiful. Say hello, baby.
Hello, baby.
You look gorgeous in that gray, sort of charcoal gray, like business dress suit you've got on there today. You have a little business thing earlier. What'd you do?
Yes, I did. I had lunch with my employer.
Really? Okay.
It was a business lunch.
Well, you look terrific. You look terrific. Now, we know that one of your many talents is that you make jewelry. Did you make the jewelry that's on your dress there today? Did you do that?
No, I didn't. Designer didn't.
Okay. All right. But you could do that, couldn't you?
I don't decorate dresses or clothes at all. I make some custom jewelry, but I don't do anything with the fabric involved.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
Not even crystals on blue jeans and things?
Well, I put crystals on my blue jeans, but I did it with iron. All my jeans has to be sparkly, you know that.
Okay, just check it.
Yes, well, you're right. I guess okay. I do decorate some.
Just check it. Okay. Whether it's a sparkly or, you know, a little costumey thing like that, you know, I think you could probably handle it if you decided you wanted to. That's what
well,
I
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Do me a favor. If you like the show, tell a friend, you know, tell a friend. We've got some exciting things coming up on our website. So definitely visit our website at macnewton.com and see what's going on over there. And another thing you can do, too, is be alert. We got a new newsletter coming out. If you want to get on our newsletter mailing list, log on and register so you can get our updates. We got a brand new newsletter coming out in just about a week or so. And around the 1st of December, we have all of our something the biggest change to my business I've made since I opened it. And it's going to be so exciting. All of those of you who know about my workout program, my 3-2 eating plan, you no matter where you are in the world, you have an opportunity to work out with me, the Mac Daddy. Yes, right where you are. And you're going to feel like you're right in my gym. I'm so excited about this. I can't wait. I have to like calm myself down all the time. Every time I get thinking about it, just fires me up. Okay, well, you know what? It is now 26 minutes before the hour. It is before the hour of 5 here in, before the hour of 6 here in Phoenix, Arizona. But where you are, that's the good thing about this thing here, too, Magic Man, is that, you know what, if you're not listening to us live right now, it's going to immediately upload to the website, and you can listen to it whenever you want. You can download it to your iPod. I know that because I have one now. And you can listen to it wherever and whenever you want to and whatever you're doing. Okay. Very, very cool. Year 2001. I'm feeling good about that. Okay, gang. Now, during the break, I forget what we were talking about, but maybe we were talking about, you know, Zach's new look, which is very dramatic. I mean, you got to understand, Zach is How old are you, Zach? You know,
I'm pushing 26 here.
Pushing 26. So now I've known Zach for probably about 4 or 5 years. And we met when I was doing a show on another radio station, a over-the-air radio station here in Phoenix. And Zach was the engineer behind the glass over there. And we got along wonderfully, and he loved listening to the show there. And I used to always kind of get on his case a little bit because he had a little beard growing there, you know, and he had the hairstyle and over the years he's always had his own look, his own style, the t-shirts, you know, and very, very cool, but young, very hip, very smart. And I look up today, he comes in, he's got on a striped shirt, pinstripe shirt, collar, only one button open at the top, you know, he's got the George Clooney hair going for him today. You know, if I didn't see that little tat over there below the right ear, who is this guy? Where is that? You're looking good, my man.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I'm a proof of this entire show and everything in progress, you know.
You know, you are, and I'm proud of you too. And I mean that. I'm proud of you. I really am. He's doing great. But anyway, we were talking about that, and I said, you know what? Physical appearances are important. It is, and you know, Natasha knows that very much. She loves shopping. She loves buying clothes and looking good, and it is important. Image is important. Yes, it is. Image is important. Do you know how many billions of dollars are spent every day around the world on image, through whether it's advertising for building a brand name or commercials for highlighting your business, or whatever topic whatever product you're trying to sell. Image for a lot of people is everything. I stand on that. I think it's important that we recognize that people draw opinions and they can do it quickly. I asked Zach and Natasha before we went on there, how long do they think it takes for someone you meet, I mean cold, just cold, how long do you think for them to make an opinion of you? I mean, when you first meet them. I mean about you as a person as a whole. And they had various answers, and I said 4 seconds on the average. A lot of research has been done in this area. I've read about it. 4 seconds on the average, and it only takes about 30 seconds for that initial impression to be permanent. Permanent. And no matter what you do from that point forward, even if it's completely contrary from what their initial impression may be, their mind is going to twist and turn that behavior to be consistent with their initial impression. You only get one chance to make it. You get one chance to make a first impression. So by the way you look, by the way you talk, you got to be prepared to make that a lasting impression, because it is going to be just that. It's going to be lasting, whether you like it or not. It's how the human brain works. So when you make a negative first impression, sometimes it can't be changed. Now look around your life and you'll find evidence of that all over you. Now, we're in our final segment. We're in our final segment on Are You a Guilty Personality? And judging from some of the emails, we've touched a nerve at certain points, especially when it came to forgiveness. I talked about that there are three persons that you have to forgive. I talked about forgiving your parents. If you missed that show and you're just listening to this week, go back to last week. We covered that subject in depth. I talked about at least 3 ways in which you can forgive your parents completely. I talked about the second person you have to forgive is everyone else, like it says in the Bible, everyone who's ever, you know, trespassed against you. Unconditionally forgive every single person in your life. I heard a comment on the radio this morning. I was listening to NPR, National Public Radio, on the way in. And there was a speaker there saying, well, there's a new thing being talked about today. It's called, you know, conditional acceptance. I thought, excuse me? Conditional acceptance. You accept someone conditionally based upon how they behave towards you. And I thought to myself, that's new. That's not new. That's old. Love and acceptance has always been conditional. There's only one, two, but only one outside of yourself. One unconditional love, and that's the love and acceptance you get from your parents. That's it. All the other love and acceptance you get in the world is conditional. depending on how you behave. The job you have is conditional. You do the job well, you keep it. You don't, you lose it. This job is not unconditional. The only thing that's conditional in your life is your love and acceptance you got from your parents, because your mom or dad says to you, no matter what you do, I'm going to love you. That's true. They mean it. And they're going to love you. They're going to love you. But everyone else, it's all conditional. All conditional. And the only other conditional love, hopefully, that you may get is that unconditional love and acceptance that you get from yourself. So, like I said, the second person you have to forgive is everyone else. You have to unconditionally forgive every single person in your life who's ever hurt you in any way. Okay? Now, you don't have to like the person. You don't even have to like your parents anymore, but you must forgive them. You have to forgive them. It's a perfectly selfish act. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has only to do with your own peace of mind, your own happiness, your own success, your future. And dumbest thing in the world is for you to still be angry or upset towards someone who doesn't care or even remember you at all. As someone put it, I never hold grudges. While you're holding a grudge, the other person you're holding a grudge against is out dancing and don't even remember your name. Whatever the situation, you probably were involved in one way or another. Okay? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Now, even if you had nothing to do with it, even if you were a completely innocent third party, you're still responsible for how you respond. You're in charge of yourself and your emotions. You're always free to decide what you do from this moment forward. And the best policy of all is for you to forgive. Now, okay, the third person you have to forgive is yourself. You have to forgive yourself for every foolish and hurtful thing that you've ever said or done to anyone else. Got to remember, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. I mean, we say and do a lot of silly, foolish things, I mean, in the course of growing up, in the course of trying to mature and learn how to be an adult. If you had to do them over, you probably would do a lot of that stuff differently, right? Yeah, of course we all would. We'd do it differently. But just simply feeling regret and being remorseful over previous mistakes, I don't think it serves a purpose. Now, you may not agree with me, and a lot of people don't. I know this because I've said it before, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't agree with that. I think it's good to be remorseful. It's good to have regrets. I don't agree with that. I mean, I've studied this subject from top to bottom. And there are some things that I think are beneficial, some mental perspectives, but I don't think remorse is one of them. I mean, to me, it's just a sign of a weak character. I mean, remorse, as far as I'm concerned, is often used as an excuse for staying where you are and not moving ahead. It's like we take solace in just being remorseful, like listening to a sad song over and over and over, that somehow it makes you feel better. I'm not into that at all. So regrets and remorse over previous mistakes doesn't serve any purpose. It just keeps you mired where you are. It's a sign of weakness of character, insincerity of purpose. All of the wise, mature men and women that I've met have all made silly mistakes, have all made foolish mistakes, but they focus on moving ahead. That's a key characteristic of all of them. They focus on moving ahead, not staring where they are. Remorsefulness, think about it, keeps you right there. And now, I think that's how they get wise and mature in the first place. So now you got to forgive yourself for everything. And that's how you move ahead. That's just not just being remorseful. Forgiveness is the key to the kingdom. It is the key to the kingdom of mental and spiritual health. You are healthy to the degree that you're able to completely forgive early and often. And when you forgive, you are now emulating the character traits of the greatest men and women who have ever walked the planet Earth. You're putting yourself, as my great-grandma used to say, you're putting yourself on the side of the angels. I mean, you're putting yourself, you are now walking with the people like Mother Teresa and Jesus of Nazareth and you know, I mean, people who are the great lovers of all time, are the great forgivers of all time. They've learned to love themselves and accept themselves, and now they've got something to give away. You see, when you're feeling remorseful and you're full of remorse and regret and chagrin from all the stuff you've got an abundance of that. That's all you can share, is the misery of your life. I don't see anything beneficial from that. I want to build, not remorse, I want to build love. I want to build caring. So I can share that. I want to have an abundance, you know, of love to share. The act of forgiveness begins the process of just erasing all of the accumulated residue of all the guilt that we've talked about, all the anger, all the resentment, all the feelings of insecurity, all the feelings of inadequacy, all the feelings of undeservingness that I have talked about over the last 3 or 4 weeks, all the stuff that have given birth to negative emotions in your subconscious mind and have kept you mired in underachievement and kept you even feeling guilty about whatever good things would happen to you. And I am amazed at how far-reaching and deep it is that when people have good things that happen to them, the lengths they'll go to undermine and destroy all of their work, even if they have to climb trees and build monuments to do it. When you get into the regular practice of easily and freely forgiving everyone and everything for everything that they've done to hurt you in any way, it makes you a calmer, kinder, more compassionate, and a more optimistic human being. I'm telling you right now, it simply makes you a better person. Now, I want to go back for a second to the second person you have to forgive. It's 12 minutes before the hour, gang. This is the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton. We do this show every Wednesday at 5 o'clock here on my website, macnewton.com. Let's go back there for just a moment so I can share an additional point for you that is very important. Sometimes, you know, in order to, you know, end a bad relationship, was a bad marriage, bad business association, but for some reason you're just still not over it. You want to be over it, but you're not over it. You can tell you're not over it because it's dominating your thinking. You think about it. You think about the person. You think about the situation over and over again. You're not over it. And you want to be, though. There's a technique that you can use to get yourself free from that. There is. But like I said, even if you're the completely innocent third party, still, you're still responsible for how you respond. You're still in charge. I call it simply the letter. That's why I call it the letter. And I've seen it taught certain. I don't remember when I first heard about it. And I've taken a couple elements of it and I've added to it. So I'm going to give it to you the way I use it. And it allows me to free myself up and move on. Because the past is something I want to learn from, but I don't want to live there. I mean, all the stuff in it is already over, can't be changed. You know, it's a done deal. You know, if I can learn from it, great. If it can give me something to make better decisions, great, but I can't live there. I'm big on the present and the future. So here, this is a technique you can use to set yourself free. It's called a letter. It's really powerful. It's liberating. Okay, I want you to do it. If you have a bad relationship, a bad marriage, a bad situation, a bad set of circumstances, you want to get over, I want you to do this. Okay? I want you to do this. Take my word for it, it works. Okay, first thing I want you to do is sit down and write a person, write a letter to this person. And it consists of three parts. Now, my recommendation, I'm going to give you the things I've learned, and I'm going to tell you the things I've done. I'm going to tell you what I do. But I'm also going to tell you some things that other people have done with this too that I think some of it may work for you. But I'm going to tell you what I do. I like to keep it short. I like to make it excruciatingly short. So, I like to get to the point, move on. I've read that you can make it as long as you want, though. In the first part of the letter, you say, "Dear so-and-so, don't introduce the letter, just start just like this. Say these words. I accept complete responsibility for our relationship. I accept complete responsibility for everything that happened in our relationship, period. That's the end of the first paragraph. You know, if you want to go into, you know, I think you should refuse to discuss how innocent you are and how bad they treated you, or don't go into that. Okay? Don't do it. Here, this is what you want to say in the first part of this letter. Say, I accept complete responsibility for everything that happened in this relationship. Period. End of sentence, end of paragraph. Double space, second part. Okay. You write. I forgive you for everything you ever did that hurt me in any way. Period. End of sentence, end of paragraph. Some people have asked me, can I tell him all the things that I'm forgiving him for? Well, you can if you want to. I don't really see the point that it serves, okay? I really don't. I don't see the point. And I've heard, I guess I've acquiesced. If it makes you feel better, list all the things that you're giving him for. But to me, it just makes it longer to write this letter. You know, to me, there's your second paragraph right there. I forgive you. I forgive you for everything you ever did that hurt me in any way. Period. Okay. Third paragraph. Last paragraph. Say it just like this. I wish you well. Period. Don't write sincerely, with love. good wishes, take care, best of everything. Just put your name down. That's it. The letter. You, when you write the letter, you want nothing else from that person. You don't want any more affection. You don't want an apology. You don't want anything else to do with them. You are free. They are free. You can move on. No more remorse. No more regret. No more nothing. You're done. Move. That's it. Now, you want to fold this letter up. You want to put it in an envelope. You want to seal it. Make sure it's sealed. You want to put the correct address. Make sure the spelling of the name is correct. You weren't going nowhere but to them. You don't even need to put on a return address. Why? You're not looking for a return call or message. Just send a letter. Make sure you got enough postage on it. Drop it in the mail. That's it. It's the letter. And the instant you let go of that letter, the instant that you let it fall into the mailbox, you will feel a sense of freedom and exhilaration that I can't tell you about. It will be like you just woke up in the morning and you just went, "Ah, wow, what a great night's sleep. Oh, wow, what a great world. It's a new day. It's a brand new world." Wow. At that moment, that relationship, that situation is over. You are ready to go on with the rest of your emotional and spiritual life. Because up until that moment, you've just been existing physically through all these steps. But now, you are free to open up yourself to someone else and possibly have the relationship of your dreams, the job of your dreams, with the real you showing up every day. Not a piece of you missing and attached to something in the past. That makes sense. Oh,
I have a question. Yes. You know me, I like to decorate stuff. So since we're talking about this letter, can I put it on get well card?
You know, what you're trying to do here, and I understand what you're trying to say. I do. You want to convey only one thought. You're not trying to take a final poke or shot at. Not a final insult. You're saying exactly what you want to say. So my answer to that would be no.
It would be insulting.
You don't want to do that. You want nothing else. You want to be clear. You are simply letting go. You want nothing else from this person. And until you write that letter, it's like you want something else, and there's still the possibility. There's still the possibility that you might get it. Write the letter real fast. We'll go over it again for you. In the first part of the letter, you sit down and you write, "I accept complete responsibility for everything that happened in our relationship." End of sentence, end of paragraph. In the second paragraph, you write, "I forgive you for everything you ever did that hurt me in any way." Period. End of sentence, end of paragraph. And in the final paragraph, you write, and you end this letter by saying, four words, "I wish you well." And as you write them, make sure you mean them. Let them flow from your heart. That's why I say don't do it. I wish you well. And mean it. Period. Sign your name. I'll tell you, I have given that advice to so many people, and I can't tell you the number of letters and things I've, phone calls and emails and texts I've received. Well, not texts. I don't get texts. Telling me what a difference that it makes. So anyway, okay. All right. There you have it. That's everything I know about getting rid of guilt. You know, you now know everything I've taught you in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Things that I've acquired over the last 22 years. That's the beauty of the Power Hour. All you have to do is tune in, and you'll get the benefit of years of research and study that I've put in to this process of human achievement. It's 2 minutes before the hour's game. Before the hour. Now, now finally, our final step for number three, to forgive yourself. Remember, forgive yourself for everything that you've done that's been, that might have been, you know, mean or cruel, bitter. This final act of forgiveness that washes away all this accumulated guilt and anger and resentment is forgiving yourself. But if you've ever done anything to hurt someone else and you still feel badly about it, this is our final, final step. And it happened. It was something I had to do on three occasions. Because when we're young and we're foolish, well, I don't know really how to put it, but we do sometimes young, foolish things. So if you've done something to hurt someone else and you still feel badly about it, go to that person. Call them on the phone and apologize. Just say, I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. I guess it's called repentance. And it's good for the soul. It really frees you from the feelings of guilt and unworthiness that goes with the knowledge that you've done something that is not consistent with your highest ideal. It doesn't matter how the other person reacts, because it's not about them, it's about you. But if you still feel badly about it, even after you've forgiven yourself for doing it, after you've forgiven yourself completely, I forgive myself for all of the foolish, bad things. If there's still one or two things that pop out, you need to go to that person. And I did three times. And I'm going to tell you something, gang. I'm running a minute over right here, but I've got to get this point out. Every single time I've done this, I met exactly the same response. And I had to leave the state once to confront this person. I didn't do it on the phone. I did it on purpose. I knocked on their door, and the door opened, and the person's eyes got wide. And in all three cases, they said it different ways, but they said the same thing. Oh, my God, I can't believe it's you. I was just thinking about you. Just thinking about you. Either that same day or the day before. You were on my mind. I dreamed about you. In one way or another, they were just thinking about. And he said, why are you here? And I would always say the same thing. I came here because I wanted to tell you that I was sorry for that thing, for hurting you the way I may have hurt you. Don't ever try to excuse it. Don't try to explain it. Just say, you're sorry. And they would always say, I accept your apology. I was just thinking about you. And then every time as I turn to walk away, you got a minute? You want a cup of coffee, glass of tea? Sure. Every time. Every single time. Anyway. But it doesn't matter how the other person reacts and responds. All that matters is that you had the courage and you had the character to accept responsibility for your actions, to apologize and say you're sorry. And now, everybody can get on with their rest of their life. Okay, gang. Now you know everything I know about it. Here's my question for you. What are you going to do with it? Now that you have it, what are you going to do with it? Okay. I got this music and I know what I'm going to do with it. I got the fabulous Natasha. I know what I'm going to do with that. Yeah. I got the magic man behind the glass. I know what I'm going to do with that. make sure they know every day I appreciate them and they're the best at what they do. Let me tell you, gang, take care of what's yours. Don't just save your best behavior for strangers. Tell the ones you love them. Because you know, I'm telling you something, man. We're only one drunk driver away from total disaster that could change your life forever. And you don't want to wait to when it's too late to say, I wish I told him I loved him more. You know, well, let's hope nothing like that ever happens. But the expression and the acceptance of love is part of our daily joy. And sometimes it takes courage to do that, okay, man? Like I always say, gang, every time at the end of the show, I want you to be true to yourselves, which means make your words and your behaviors match. I want you to be good to yourself, which is easier to understand. And I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock. You know, he's the producer for the Phoenix Suns, so he's about to get busy down here at the stadium. I guess they're on tap tonight. I think they played last night. Don't know the score, but anyway, good luck for an interesting season, Phoenix Suns. I want to say thanks to Pat McMahon, who encouraged me in a way that no one did when I first came to this town. JC up in San Fran, you my magic, man. My man JB, thinking about you, brother. And of course to Zach, we call him the magic man right here. And of course the fabulous Natasha. Hey gang, my name's Mac. You can call me anything you like, just not late for a meal because I love good food. I do. My name's Mac Newton. This has been the Power Hour, gang. We'll see you next week. 3, 2, 1, peace. The Mac Daddy is out.